This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wassalam, rasulillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is Riyad Razazi. Welcome you to a new series, this Ramadan 2022. It's about tafsir of the Quran. Let's call it, just like a couple of years ago, let's call it tafsir bite, an ayah that will change your life. So we're going to start, inshallah ta'ala, with Surah Al-Baqarah. But first, let me just recapitulate something that we've mentioned a few years back with regard to the Quran. The Quran is split into four different categories, or the surah, the chapters of the Quran are split into four categories. We have what we call as-sab' al-tiwal, the seven long ones. That's Al-Baqarah and Al-Imran, Al-Nisa, Al-Ma'idah, you know, Al-An'am, Al-A'raf. So those are the seven long ones, we call them. The seven first chapters are called As-Sab' al-Tiwal. And then the second category are the Al-Mi'in, those surahs that are 100 verses or more, a little bit more, so we call them Al-Mi'in. They're called Al-Mi'in. And then you have below the Mi'in, comes from Mi'a. Mi'a in Arabic means 100. And then you have Al-Mathani. Those are below 100 or so, 100 verses or so, are called Al-Mathani. And then the last category are called Al-Mufassal. Those are the short surahs, Al-Mufassal. With regard to Al-Baqarah, Al-Baqarah is considered to be from a seven, Sab' al-Tiwal, because it's the longest surah, the longest chapter in the Quran. It is also called Sinamul Quran, the pinnacle of the Quran. It is. It has three juz's, and its number in the Quran. The sequence of it in the Quran is number two, and the number of ayat number two, because Fatiha is number one, and then Al-Baqarah comes in as number two. How many verses altogether in Surah Al-Baqarah? 286 verses, 286 ayah. And it is a Madani ayah. It's a Madani. What do we mean by Madani? It's a surah, it's a chapter that has been revealed altogether in its entirety in Medina, not in Mecca. All the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah with the consensus are being revealed in Medina. So it is the first actually surah that was revealed in Medina. How many Madani surahs and how many Mekki surahs do we have? Let me tell you something sweet and nice that you should, inshallah ta'ala, it should be easy to remember, just to differentiate between those that are Madani and those that are Mekki. Mekki surahs are those surahs that are revealed in Mecca. Madani surahs are those that are revealed in Medina. Al-Baqarah is 286 verses. So this is to remember. This is the way to remember. 28 surahs are Mekki and 86 are Madani. Al-Baqarah is 286, 28 are Mekki, 28 chapters are Mekki, and 86 surahs or chapters are Madani. So that's how you know how many Mekki surahs and how many Madani surahs there are. But when it comes to, let's say, Al-Baqarah in the way it was revealed is number 86. Although in the Quran, it's number 2. But in the sequence of its revelation, it's number 86, which means the very first surah that was revealed in Medina. The Asbab al-Nuzul, quickly, the reason, because every surah or every ayah that is revealed, it has a sabab, it has a reason as to why it was revealed. With regard to Surah Al-Baqarah, there are 8 reasons as to why the surah was revealed. Some of these reasons are pertinent to Ben Israel. Some are pertinent to the tahwil of al-Qibla, the changing of the Qibla, you know, from al-Quds to Mecca. Some are pertinent to tarbiyat of the Sahaba, the tarbiyah, the disciplining of the Sahaba, and the ahkam. There are some other asbab pertinent to the ahkam of legislations of siyam, of hajj, of nikah, of talaq. So these are in its entirety, you know, a little bit like a preview of Surah Al-Baqarah. And Surah Al-Baqarah, by the way, it starts with what we call huruf al-tahajji, Alif Lam Mim. Alif Lam Mim is what we call in Arabic the huruf of At-Tahajji. So mawdu', the theme of the surah is all about resurrection, and it's about the establishment of Al-Mujtama' Al-Islami, the Islamic society, and taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of Allah azza wa jal. But quickly, some virtues about Surah Al-Baqarah, right? So I gave you just a quick preview, but what are the virtues of Surah Al-Baqarah? There is quite a few hadiths. I'm going to mention maybe a couple. Abu Umam al-Bahili, he narrates in hadith reported by Muslim, that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam says, اقرأوا القرآن, read the Qur'an, for it will come as an intercessor in the Day of Judgment. The Qur'an will be shafi'a, you know, and shafi' for you in the Day of Judgment. And then the Prophet says in the same hadith, وَقْرَأُوا الزَّهْرَوَيْنِ فَإِنَّهُمَا يَأْتِيَانِ غَمَامَتَانِ أَوْ غَيَايَتَانِ. Then read the two Zahrawan, the two glowing ones, the two Zahra. Zahra is like a flower, right? Zahra. You know, in Arabic we call it Zahra. It's like a, you know, it's a type of flower, you know. So the Prophet says, read the two Zahrawans, Al-Baqarah and Al-Imran, the two glowing ones, the two flower ones, the flowery ones, for they come in the Day of Judgment as clouds or shades. When you hear cloud, it is not something to be scared of. The Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be calling seven categories from His people. The day when, you know, people will, the sun will be on top of the heads and people will be sweating and everybody's naked and barefooted. Everybody's waiting on Allah azza wa jalla to come down to start the hisab. So amidst this scene, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call upon seven categories and He will put them under His shade. The day when there is no shade except the shade of Allah. Surah Al-Baqarah and Al-Imran, they will shade you on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet Muhammad also, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he says, with regard to Al-Baqarah, read Surah Al-Baqarah. Why? He says, اقرأ صورة فإن أخذها بركة. If you were to take it, it's baraka. Baraka means blessing. It's a blessed surah, subhanAllah. The entire Quran is blessed, subhanAllah. نعم. هذا القرآن مبارك. إن أنزلناه قرآن مبارك. It is Mubarak. It's blessed. But Surah Al-Baqarah has something sweet, something specific, something pertinent just to it. أخذها بركة. Take, you know, live with it. It's Barakah. And if you were to deprive yourself from it, وَتَرْكُهَا حَسْرَةً. It's a regret. A regret upon those who, you know, stay, who are deprived from, you know, taking it from you, يعني from reading it, from acting upon the ahkam in it, the surahs in it. And then the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam also says, وَلَا تَسْتَطِعُوهَا الْبَطَلَةَ. The sorcerers don't, you know, can't handle it, can't take it, can't, يعني because subhanAllah, it is a surah, those who are affected by sihr, by black magic, you know, this is why when we tell them, you know, read, do ruqya, and this ruqya, Surah Al-Baqarah, especially the Ayatul Kursi, or the ayah that starts with, وَاتَّبِعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ. Some very powerful, powerful, you know, ayat that the jinn, that the shayateen can't stand. وَلَا تَسْتَطِعُوهَا الْبَطَلَةَ. For the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whosoever reads Surah Al-Baqarah every 3 days in their home, every 3 days, shayateen will not enter your home. So every 3 days you were to read Surah Al-Baqarah in your home, the shayateen will not enter your home. This is one of the blessings or the virtues of Surah Al-Baqarah. Because of lack of time, I'm going to just, you know, talk about this, just this couple of hadith. Brothers and sisters, why it's called Surah Al-Baqarah? The cow in Arabia, you know, if you were to maybe travel between Mecca and Medina, or go to Riyadh, or Jeddah, or Dammam, or whatnot, you won't see cows much. What you will see instead are camels. By what Allah Azza wa Jal called it Surah Al-Baqarah, the cow. There's a story behind it. It starts from when the time Allah, you know, Musa, you know, Allah ordered Musa to take Bani Israel from Egypt out into Mount Sinai, and then when he left them there, then he went to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For 40 days he left them with his brother Harun for 40 days. When he came back, for a month or 40 days, when he came back, there was this crafter, he crafted a calf from gold, and he said, other people are worshipping, you know, cows and worshipping idols, why don't you worship this cow? And Banu Israel, despite the fact that they saw so many miracles, yet they started worshipping that cow, that calf from gold. came Musa, who was really angry and destroyed the cow. Ben Israel, you know, some believed, and of course others, you know, disbelieved. So now came in the story again of a man, a wealthy man, who had no heir, and he had a nephew who was greedy, this nephew. So he decided to kill his uncle. And then he threw him into this other tribe. Musa, he divided Ben Israel into tribes. So he threw him into this other tribe. In the morning, that other tribe found this man, you know, the dead man. The other tribe where that, you know, the uncle, you know, belonged to, accused that other tribe for, you know, killing the, you know, the man. The other tribe said, no, we did not kill no one. So there was this clash between them. They said, let's revert to Musa. Musa, alayhi salam, his kalimullah, spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah instructed Musa, tell them to slaughter a cow. A cow. You know, a cow. Not a camel, a cow. And take a part of the cow and strike the dead man with it. For he will wake up and tell you who, or inform you of who killed him. Now came in that, you know, a quarrel between Musa and Ben Israel. They could have just slaughtered a cow, any cow. But they kept on asking questions. And those are Ben Israel, subhanAllah, despite the fact that they've seen so many miracles. Your prophet said, slaughter a cow. What kind of cow? What color? Male, female, you know, what, you know, version? They just asking so many questions. There was a cow that belonged to a poor man. This poor man had a son. And then the only thing he left behind was this cow. He told them, don't sell the cow, just leave it. Right? And he entrusted Allah, his son to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a pious, righteous man. He died. They were really poor. They, you know, they asked the son, let's sell this cow and make, you know, make some money so that we can make a living. The son said, no, my father said, let us not, you know, sell this cow now, at least for now. So they kept that cow. When Ben Israel was looking for that particular cow that Musa described to them, they could only find that cow that belonged to that boy. So they asked him to sell them the cow. He sold them the cow that could have been cheap, but he sold it to them its weight in gold, the weight of that cow in gold. So they took the cow, they slaughtered the cow, they took a part of it, they stroked that dead man. The dead man, lo and behold, he woke up. He told them, this is resurrection. He got resurrected. He told them, my nephew killed me, and he went back and died again. This is, in a nutshell, the summary of why it was called Surat Al-Baqarah. Baqarah means cow in Arabic. An ayah that would change your life. In Surat Al-Baqarah, there's this very amazing surah or ayah that we all know, Ayatul Kursi. The Prophet Muhammad says, if you are to recite Ayatul Kursi before you go to sleep, two angels will guard you the whole night. No jinn, no shaitan will mess around with you that night. Some people who sleep and have nightmares and dreams and bad dreams, and some wake up and start walking or whatnot. Surah Ayatul Kursi. And in fact, in Sahih Bukhari, there's a long hadith when Abu Huraira, you know, he had Baytul Mal, the bank of the Muslims. And then there was this old man who came and he tried to steal money, and Abu Huraira caught him and he said, I'm going to take you to Rasulullah. And he said, please, I'm an old man, just let me go. And then he let him go. He told Prophet Muhammad the morning, the Prophet Muhammad told him, the man, he's going to come back again. And the next day, the man came back trying to steal money, and Abu Huraira caught him again. I'm going to take you to Rasulullah. Pleaded him, please, I'm just an old man and I need help. I need to have family. I should not come back again. And then he let him go. The next day, he told Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad told him, he's going to come back again. And then for the third day, he came back again trying to steal, and Abu Huraira caught him. That's it. I'm taking you to Rasulullah. He says, please, if you are to let me go, I shall tell you of something that shall save you from shaitan, that shall that shall put a barrier between you and shaitan. He says, before you go to sleep, read Ayatul Kursi. He left him. He told Prophet Muhammad the next day. Prophet Muhammad already knew. He says, what happened to your friend yesterday? He says, ya Rasulullah, he came and he said so and so. Prophet Muhammad told him, sadaqaka wa huwa kadhub. He says, he spoke the truth, although he's a liar. Do you know who that is, ya Abu Huraira? That is shaitan. That is shaitan. He came in the form of a man to teach you about Ayatul Kursi. He was right this time, although he's a liar, but this time he was right. How can you protect yourself from shaitan before you go to sleep? Ayatul Kursi. Before you go to sleep, make this wudu, make your wudu, read turakat, and then read Ayatul Kursi, inshaAllah ta'ala, along with the adhkar of an-nawm, inshaAllah ta'ala, you shall have a very, peaceful sleep, bi-idhnillah. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum, inshaAllah ta'ala, until another episode of Tafsir Bites 2022. Riyad Wazazi, say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.